happy spring game week. Happy appetizer Thursday. Hey. We're in Roosters in the Horseshoe Lounge for a live show, and it actually is a Tuesday. Hope everybody enjoyed WrestleMania weekend or the Eclipse or both. That's Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter, Bill Landis. I'm Austin Ward.
Sounds like you enjoyed it.
Yes. I had a fantastic time, and eventually I'll get my voice back.
I mean, was that, were you screaming?
A lot of screaming.
Oh, finish the story.
Were you singing with The Rock and Stone Cold?
I was singing.
Oh, Stone Cold was there?
No, Stone Cold did not appear. I was singing Cody Rhodes' theme song probably 750 times.
That's perfect.
It was playing on repeat after he finished the story.
Who is this Cody Rhodes guy?
He's the American Nightmare.
The American Nightmare? Is that
is he related to Dusty Rhodes?
He sure is. That's his son.
Ah. Really?
The American Dream and the American Nightmare.
So you're telling me that we have a legacy in there and it's not the Laurinaitis family. That's
unfortunate.
Well, wrestling has more than one royal family, I'm told. So,
I mean, is this like a real Game of Thrones situation here?
Do you want this whole show to be about wrestling? Because Bill and I will definitely do that.
Fill me in because I'm way behind.
Anyway, WrestleMania was awesome, and the spring game will probably be just as good.
The weather's supposed to be great.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you juiced?
I am juiced. It's going to be a huge day. They've got, obviously, the coaches' clinic leading into that. We're going to have a linebacker talk Thursday night.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out the tone that we're going for. I've been trying to bounce that off of, because it's AJ Schlegs and I with James, so I'm like, you want us to just harass James the whole time up there?
Yeah, so James is going to try and take it seriously, and the three of you are going to push back against
that.
I mean,
we've got Jim Schwartz before us, the Browns DC, who is my head coach in Detroit. They've got Mark D'Antonio before us. Like,
they said
we're like the headliner. I'm like, we're just like kind of the warm blanket that's kind of leading you off into the night. So at that point, like, do you want to be informative, or do you want to be entertained? Or we could maybe do a little of both, but I'm guessing it's going to be lean into the entertainment. So we've got that Friday, the final practice, which should be pretty good. And then they have the spring game on Saturday, which the weather should be good. They're making a big push. It's going to be on Big Fox, the first ever college football spring game televised on Big Fox. If the weather is what it's supposed to be, which is probably 50s, 60s, sunny, I would think that it'll look full, whether that's you know, they keep saying 100,000. I go, the nice part of the spring game is you can get 85 to 90 and it looks full because you have normal human spacing in there, not like just slight, like just packing crayons into a crown box and trying to 100%. Put them in there. So it should be pretty good. And everybody's going to play a little bit. So I think you're going to see a lot of that. And I mean, they have five quarterbacks. Everybody wants to see the young guys. I have an inkling that the young guys are probably going to be the ones that get a lot of the reps.
I mean, that's a lot of people want to see the old guy too.
Well, and that's true. But like, you're going to have to play somebody, and like, there's nobody in the room that I don't think provides a certain level of intrigue.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
I think if it's going to be a nice day, I mean, I think there's so much excitement, you know, coming out of the winter. Mm-hmm. People are itching to get out to see this team and see these new players and kind of see what they're all about. So, I expect a beautiful day, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see what these guys are doing. I mean, spring games are spring games. So let's not get way ahead of ourselves. I mean, well, they're different now. When we were there, we split it up, and
we had actual games.
We had an actual game. Everybody split up 50-50 or however it went. And
we used the visitors' locker room.
Oh yeah, we did it all.
And there were, you know, stakes on the line, even as recently as like 5-6 years ago.
The losers walked back.
Walked back. You're going to eat hot dogs and burgers instead of steaks and lobster.
Boiled hot dogs.
Oh, yeah,
they literally urban. They would boil them. I'm like, we couldn't at least like grill them.
You used to have to shovel the manure over there at Buckeye Grove.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. We didn't have to do that.
They go do the mulching. I like that, though, putting a little bit of something on it.
Yeah. It feels like it's changed a lot, Bill, even just since you've been covering the team.
It has changed a lot. It's still a cool event. I still like it mostly because it's an opportunity for people to get into the shoe without having to, you know, put down a mortgage payment to do so. So yeah. And I mean, Ohio State does charge for the spring game, but it's reasonable enough, I suppose. But, yeah, the game itself is maybe not as I don't know, entertaining or to these guys' point, like high stakes.
It's entertaining. It's not competitive.
I feel like they've done a poor job of making the practice entertaining in the last couple of years. Honestly,
do you want us to bring the races back?
No,
some sort of dodgeball.
No, I don't care about any of that other stuff. I want to
play football.
I want to see like a practice that actually counts for something. And I think most Ohio State fans feel the same. And I think the last couple of years have gone the other direction. Like there's. Like I understand not wanting to put something on display. It's on Fox. Any coach that's on the schedule could watch it, and like, you're not going to show a bunch of new offensive wrinkles. I certainly understand that, but you know, and not to just compare different eras, but like Urban, not just the stakes of winning the game, it was like you're going to kick it off with a circle drill, and there's going to be work done.
The intensity was there.
And it feels like from the last couple years, it's get to the end, and Saturday becomes a celebration. Hey, spring's over. Mm-hmm. Heavy lifting is done. There's not going to be a competition sorted out. You're not going to win a job on the last day. And you know what? We're going thud up tempo. We're not going full contact.
Well, I think part of it is you've got through 14. Let's not get anybody hurt on 15.
Yeah, you want to be healthy.
I'm not questioning that part of it. And I understand the rationale and the justification. I'm just saying for the people that don't have an opportunity, if it's 70, 80, 90,000, and they want there to feel like there's something going on the field, they've been lighter practices than what we already see like on Student Appreciation Day.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of how it's been trending that way for a while, because even with Urban, I mean, they would practice significantly harder. Now, they were playing to win those games. But part of it is, too, when you're breaking in a quarterback, you know, then like you're trying to give that guy some confidence. I mean, you remember, was it Justin Fields? Yeah. They literally had a structured game hunt where they wheeled out a deer and then you shot it with a pistol outside so that he could surpass 100 yards and get a touchdown pass. And I say
they got almost all of it. Like Ben Victor, I believe, is like 90
Ben
yard
Victor,
touchdown.
Ben Victor, they put my son out there to guard him. And it was like, you know, you're basically a spring caliber walk on guy. Like, hey, go cover him.
Yeah.
Hey guys,
go run with him.
Like, I mean, it was, and that's what it was. But he went 4 for like 14 or something like that.
It was rough.
And so you want to make sure the guys have confidence. You want to embarrass them. You don't want the quarterbacks getting hit at all. Now, trust used to be like, if you were a starter, like I think they'd black jersey you. But sometimes
my sophomore year, we were both live.
Yeah. And I don't hate that. If you've got enough viable options,
freshman year, I was live.
Liven them up a little bit.
It hurt my shoulder.
Oh, 100% the young guys. They were always
shoulder hurt freshman
they were
year.
Always live.
All right, great. But I was really happy.
Isn't
with my
Ohio
decision.
State trying to find out something this. About Devin Brown and Will Howard and Lincoln Keenholz?
Oh, like, yeah. All like, those guys. Like, can you take a hit? I think that's a big piece of it, especially with the young guys. Like, you've been living there in the black jersey fantasy land where guys are just running by you and you get to throw the ball. Yeah. It's one thing when that dude.
It's a different ball game when you know, like, I might not have the most time in the world, and they're actually going to hit me when they get here.
Absolutely.
It does change your mind frame a little bit.
I mean, you got 4 months to get healthy. Let's take those non-contact jerseys off, baby. Let's get
after it. Will Howard doesn't need it, though. He's played a lot of football, but everyone else, yeah.
Get up there on 3rd and 3, run some Q-power with
Will
Howard.
Q-power, Will Howard, yeah. Just fall forward for the first down.
I'm not trying to go that far, that it's got to be like a real live jersey scrimmage, but feels like they can accomplish more.
I think they will do a little more this year.
All right.
Probably with the young guys, because here's the thing. They have a very veteran team. So I don't think you're going to see Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau and a ton of those guys and Denzel Burke.
Like,
you'll see maybe a series or two of them, and that probably will be more thud. But I think with they have a
– Once they get to that depth, then they get
Because this is what happens
there.
Now with the portal. You don't have any, like, middle-tier guys. So you have your veteran guys that have started a lot, and then you have guys who haven't really played that are talented and young, and a lot of them enroll early. Get them in there. Get them on the field. Let them play with some real game action. You don't want them to get hurt. Odds are they're not having something that's season-ending that's happening here. But then you need to experience whether or not they can play in these environments, and they got to get some serious reps there.
Their first time in the shoe with a lot of people. I mean, just let them get out there. It's, with the crowd, with the extra pressure, seeing how they go. I think with the veteran team that we do have, it'll still be exciting getting those younger guys in there because we've heard about them. We know that they're going to be good, but they just have these guys that were up here. So that'll be a lot of fun to see those younger guys get after it. And hopefully they do.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to sit those other guys, give the people with, give them something.
Are you not entertained?
Yes.
I do think, because like last year felt kind of lame, right?
Felt kind of lame.
I think it was partly because they didn't have that many guys last year. Like, I think this spring they have a dozen, perhaps more, scholarship players in spring camp than they did last year.
Close to like a full camp. Yeah. Like, I think they're around their full scholarship number in the mid-80s.
Yeah. Maybe it is that recency bias, Bill, because the last year I thought was maybe the worst spring game I've ever seen any.
You covered Tennessee for a couple years.
I'm telling you.
Their spring games were better.
They at least were trying.
The regular season was just worse.
We lost a lot of the juice, too, when Devin couldn't play.
Yeah, and I remember the second half was, like, all walk-ons and, like, true freshmen. Like, I want to see the true freshmen. It was really disjointed, and then Devin Brown was not in it. So it was like, well, that's just it. Like, Lincoln Keenholz wasn't even here yet.
Right.
So
there wasn't.
Well, yell at Lincoln and Devin for making it subpar. Yes. Devin, quit so getting okay. hurt. Oh, okay. Lincoln, give back your state championship in baseball.
You didn't like the Tristan Jebbia show?
It was fine.
Yeah.
You said it was lame, so
I did think last year was lame, and hopefully I'm wrong. I want Saturday to be cool, and we get to leave with an evaluation. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer about it. It just it feels like they're if you want people. Here's the other thing, Bob.
If you want people to come, and
if you want people to come, and if you want to raise money for NIL and collectives and all the other things, like make it something to watch, especially now if it's on Fox. TV, yeah. You're giving people an excuse not to go.
You're putting a
right.
I was not the best from last year on quickly. Fox.
Jay-Z's gonna do the pregame show and leave. He's like, I'm out of here. It's on Fox. It's like now you're undercutting some of it. You have the appeal, and you get to tell
it was on BTN before. I mean, I know that they're all we're still
Fox big noon kickoff.
Okay,
we know who's.
Oh my God! Look at that catch.
Jaguar Jeremiah. You're gonna hear a lot about that.
Oh golly.
All right. So, well, who do you want to watch? Who's a guy on your radar for Saturday? Let's assume that it's the best case scenario. Everybody it's meaningful. Plays, yeah. Everybody yeah. plays.
Oh goodness, that's. I think everybody wants to watch Jeremiah Smith like in the flesh.
I mean, right, I was gonna take Smith sensation.
Yeah.
Take that one off the board.
I want to see the young quarterbacks. Yeah. Like I've seen Will Howard play in college games. I've seen Devin Brown play a little bit, and I would probably like to see some more of him. But I think there's a high degree of intrigue to get like a real evaluation on Lincoln Kienholz when he didn't look like Justin in the spring game of sophomore year. And, you know, Aaron Nolan, throw him out there. Julian, I'm just saying, throw him out there. Like, see what those guys can do a little bit. Because they have a large quantity of receivers that can all play. So it's not like you're going to be throwing to guys who aren't good. So
yeah, and then you have Sane just loses black stripes. So a lot of people are going to want to say, all right, hey, this guy just lost this. One of the fastest quarterbacks to probably lose their stripe.
I'm just saying.
There's going to be some excitement to be out there and seeing him throw that rock a little bit. And when they do, they're going to be impressed. I mean, he's got a laser on.
Yeah, what did you think when you saw him in this?
I thought he threw the best ball out of everybody that was out there. Not to say the other guys looked bad by any means, but there was just something about his
different
quickness, the zip, just – it just seems like he has that, and you know, a lot, almost some, you know, different angle throws,
arm slots. Practicing.
Yeah, I mean, different slots, which he has to do because he's not that big of a cat, right?
Oh, so Patrick Mahomes.
So he's probably gotten used to doing that, practiced on. But I thought he looked really good. You know, I just coming out of that, if we didn't have a guy come in like Will Howard, who's had 4 years of experience, I think that just the way that he threw the ball and he looked when he was out there running with the teams. You know, stepping up and doing what he had to do, I thought he could probably push, but I just think with the experience and everything else, you kind of fall towards that, you know, Will Howard or Devin Brown, someone who's played and been there, has a little more experience. But Julian, I think he's going to be really good whenever he does get that chance.
There's a lot to get excited about there.
There is. Yeah,
for sure. Sane is the top of my list.
He's at the top of your list?
Yeah. I think – I don't know if he'll play because he was dealing with some kind of injury at student appreciation day, but Brandon Ennis I think will be interesting.
I would not anticipate him playing.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of some of the young receivers. Like Bryson Rogers I think is interesting. He's
played really well. In
yeah. I thought he really popped when we watched that student appreciation day practice, just like more explosive than I thought he would be.
Crazy because there's so many receivers, and we're like, oh man, this kid's making plays all over the field.
Yeah, one after the other, boom. You stand out, it makes it that much more noteworthy. Yeah, Caleb Downs is an obvious one. I think I'm excited to watch like the young corners, and I would include like Jermaine Matthews in that, just going up against these receivers, like some trash talk, some back and forth. I think some probably pretty good battles, maybe for everyone except for Jeremiah Smith, who I'd imagine would win most of his, but. I just think there's a lot of reason to be really excited about both those position groups now and into the future. So I'm excited to kind of see the future on display a little bit.
Bob, were you there on Friday with a vantage point of the touchdown catch that set social media ablaze?
Is that the one-hander in the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's now like waiting every day is what's he going to do? Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a chance to see practice on Monday.
Who threw that ball, do you know?
I don't know.
I believe it was Devin.
It may have been Devin. I mean, it was a good ball. It was back shoulder, right where it needed to be. Like, the coverage was great.
Okay, it was right there.
And, yeah, I mean, it was just Austin on me and, like, one hand out and, like, pulling it in as he's falling out of bounds. Yeah, I mean, it was legit.
I don't like my odds in covering you, Bob.
It was pretty remarkable. And that was one of the last periods of practice. It's like, well, when's going to happen? Like, it's just been kind of waiting.
Is, yeah.
And he had other catches and things, but usually there's one where he's very well covered. and still finds a way to come down with a football.
The ones that we saw at Student Appreciation Day, Jermaine Matthews was in great coverage. It took an acrobatic catch to do it. Denzel Burke was in coverage. The ball was underthrown, and Jeremiah had to adjust.
I thought Denzel
was
going to pick that. I don't know how he didn't.
I thought.
So when you see that ball come, I mean, it's hard to get your feet and everything. And I mean, Jeremiah made it, made the adjustment, and Denzel.
It turns out. Turns out he's very good. as a huge fan of offensive line play, me personally, I want to see, because we get to watch practice Friday and whatever they do on Saturday, the rest of the world. Will Josh Fryer actually make an appearance while we're watching at guard? Because
I don't know if he will. I think
Ryan Day keeps talking about it, but every time we've been in there, he's playing tackle.
I mean, I've watched him play guard in practice. Like, he has played guard. You know, that's, they've worked Tegra in there, and like, they're rotating him at guard a little bit. And I think, you know, they like the Luke Montgomery, Carson Hinsman, and even maybe Seth McLaughlin. Like, they're trying to figure that out. Like,
the inside three.
O-line, like, not even inside three, kind of the right side.
Right guard.
I think, like,
right,
whether,
yeah, right guard,
whether, you know, Hinsman or McLaughlin guard center
is going to be.
Yeah, like, switcheroo there, or is it Luke Montgomery guard? You know, Fryer. They've been putting Fryer inside, Tiger Shibola outside. And, like, there's days where some have looked better than others. Like, one guy looked good, maybe the other didn't. And just trying to figure out how that unit's going to all mesh together. I didn't realize.
Is Montgomery going out at all? See,
he's been playing.
No, he's all guard.
He played tackle last year, but he's played all guard this spring.
So the point there is, they keep talking about that happening. We know it's happened some, but we haven't actually personally seen that part.
No, every time we've been in there, Josh Fryer's been playing tackle. I don't know that we've seen like Tegra take a rep with the one. I know that he has, but I don't think we've seen it. We've only seen Carson and Seth play center, and we've only seen Luke play guard.
So I will be watching the offensive line.
That's another interesting piece.
It's the most interesting piece, right? I mean, you have to have it.
Because if you think about that, I mean, whether it's Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, Mitchell Melton, like those guys, there's going to be someone that's on the field that's good.
Yeah.
They will be getting some work on the outside.
Yeah. You know what else has been getting some work since we got here?
The mini.
Berm taste tested these.
The mini, I think 10. He gave it a 10 out of 10.
Look, they're mini footballs and they're mac and cheese bites, and it's the featured appetizer.
Today. Which
Tuesday.
Is appetizer Thursday.
$3. Make it holler.
All day long. They're delicious.
They are
fantastic.
So good.
Golden brown.
We promise we'll leave some for you if you want to come in later. And
no,
get
we
your
will not leave them here.
We
have
not
to take
these
with us, Austin.
Leave the ones that haven't been prepared yet.
Right, just these are, sure.
There's no chance
just
that these are going to
anybody yelling at us.
Don't worry about that. It's all going to a good place. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back in here into the Horseshoe Lounge. Berm's going to be here. He seems just pumped to be here.
Does
as we roll along at Roosters, which is a fun casual joint.
Roosters has been so fortunate. We just want to be able to give some of that back to the community.
They donate to organizations that are near and dear to their heart, and we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long time.
They always go above and beyond to help support our foundation to further help veterans.
It's just a wonderful feeling to know that Roosters supports the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Welcome back into the Horseshoe Lounge. Berm is here.
Berm. Hey, hello.
You said these were 10 out of 10 on the mac
and cheese bites. Yeah, these mac and cheese bites today are, they, as the kids say, slap.
They slap.
They're crack.
These things slap today.
Oh, wow.
Perfect.
Cracked.
Perfect ratio of goo to crisp.
Yes, 100%.
That's key.
Yeah, you need that goo to crisp combo.
Like that nice firm outside and gooey inside.
That's right. Perfect. Well done. Bravo, Roosters.
Are you juiced for Saturday?
Yeah.
I
like football.
That sounded juiced.
I like football. I like football, especially when, as Bob said, the weather looks like it's going to be pretty pretty choice.
Some choice weather.
So I'm looking forward to that because, you know, we're outdoors for football.
That is how where they play
in
it.
The north. Yeah. We play football outside up here. It's going to be a good day. I really do think that, you know, Bill obviously brought up Julian Sand. When you think
that was Jay-Z,
they tagged.
We had a discussion,
But it's a situation where I think that
real in the family situation.
We still don't know. We still
you're really testing Bob to start this segment. By the way,
we still don't know how they're going to format this game on Saturday, so it's hard to know exactly what to expect. But I would be shocked. I think that it'd be surprising if we didn't see at least the second half. Of all,
do you think it'll be like an MP3 or more of a wave format? I mean, what do we?
Yeah, I don't know.
we'll be using
as long as it's lossless.
It's going to be a gift.
That's all that matters. Okay. It's a gift from the football gods.
Well done.
There you go.
But, you know, I think we would probably see at least a quarter of all Julian staying in there, Noland, and at the risk of, like, putting too big of a spotlight, like, I think it's a pretty big opportunity for Julian, number
one.
You
got to play those. Who's going to play quarterback? It's also, don't have anybody else.
It's way too early to suggest that someone's career is on the precipice.
Hanging in the balance.
But it is a pretty vital time for Aaron Noland to get out there, and if he gets the opportunity to go out there and play well, because there is so much buzz around Julian Sain right now that you risk being swallowed up a little bit by the hype train that's coming if you don't. And outside of the quarterbacks, I mean, who – we don't know what we're going to see. So I really want to see Kenyatta Jackson against, like, the Ohio State first team offensive line. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
And I would expect we'll see him significant portions of the day, because we don't expect to see JT Tuimoloau or Jack Sawyer. So who he's going up against is really the most important thing to me, because it's been, what, five straight spring games where the offensive line has just been a sieve.
They're actually healthy. I mean, like, as healthy as they're
they've been healthy in the past. They were just bad.
Yeah, but they actually have. I feel like they may not have, you know, Paris Campbell or Dwan Jones out there.
Paris Johnson. Well, Paris Campbell's not out there either.
Yeah, he not
exactly. Much of a blocker.
Excellent blocker.
No, yeah, he was a good blocker.
Yes, a good run blocker.
He just doesn't have to block defensive
ends. Yes, not defensive ends, yeah.
But yes, Paris Johnson, Dwan Jones, like, but I feel like they have more depth. Like, there's more viable players, and they've been rotating guys. So I'm curious to see as they work these guys through. You'll see some good, I think, battles out there with some of these guys.
We're going to see a lot of TC Caffey.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Dallin Hayden?
We'll get to that. I just wanted to put a button on that, where it felt like to me during Student Appreciation Day that the offensive line was holding up better in that setting than a comparable one a year ago.
They've had good days and bad, and like that, and not bad, but that was a good day.
They're going against a good D. I mean,
yes.
When, as long as Sonny Styles and CJ Hicks weren't blitzing, it felt like everything else they were doing.
So when they were playing base defense. Yeah.
But here's the thing. But the only reason I put it that way, which I get it, is a big caveat, is that last year JT and Jack were eating them alive. It did not matter who was out there. They couldn't.
There's some times where they still like to munch, if you will.
I'm afraid that this show is just going to get too far gone by the time we're done here. All right, so you mentioned in the first segment, Bob, and then, Berm, you brought up TC Caffey. Portal is not technically open until Monday.
But you want to call ahead.
Let them know and get your reservation.
So if you know, there's an app outside the Portal app called openportal.com. You can get in there, and then you reserve your spot in line.
6 a.m. on Monday. I would like a reservation for one.
Yes, actually not a terrible idea to create an app that student athletes can use to connect with other student athletes who are going portaling.
Like similar likes, interests.
Yeah, yeah.
Why
do they need it?
Okay.
Because then they can, you know, what's the word we're looking
swipe
for?
Swipe right on talk guys they want to play with.
Yeah, they're like, I want to play with him.
I swipe right.
Quinshon Judkins. I mean, that's a fun.
Put your list together who you'd like to be with. Yeah, where you want.
You don't need
similar
it.
Schools.
You don't need it for other players. Like, you need it for the coaches.
This is basically cold weather, outdoors. Yeah.
It's like Madden Ultimate Team. You just have to pick your cards.
Lane Kiffin made a profile. He's like, I need a running back, please. Preferably somebody who's lived in the South.
Who's this Joey Freshwater cat?
I mean, what you're describing is kind of like Greek life. I mean, it's kind of like rushing, like rushing now for teams. Go out there. What if we with these guys? These are my top three.
Let them know who you are, what you're about, and then if they want you.
Why not?
So 247 and On3 reported that Dallin Hayden did make that portal reservation, which I guess is just the way things work now. I understand. Bill and I both talked on the podcast daily. Like, can't fault the kid for making that decision in any way, shape, or form. It's not about that. I think the timing is still a bit surprising, especially because he talked in a media session last week, and it was like, hey, the redshirt plan was mutual. We all agreed on it. We're going forward.
Well, and then, there was already a portal open.
Like, and there was in the winters, and he didn't use that opportunity.
So if the redshirt was the issue, then you would have thought he would have jettisoned after that.
And he did not. But so, again, he doesn't have to justify that to anybody. He made the decision, and it's fine. But it does.
He's come here. He's played hard. He hasn't complained.
Not at all. And I think, for me, personally, I would have liked to have seen him play a lot more for Ohio State, because when he was on the field with the football in his hands, he was dynamic. So someone's going to get a really good running back. I think Ohio State would have been better off if that was still happening here.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been a role with both Quinshon and Travion, I think, and the opportunity beyond that. So I think this is
not a loss that's going to wipe out Ohio State's title chances, but it's a blow to the depth that I think is not ideal.
It is, because if you have an injury now, then you're looking, like you said, T.C. Caffey, or you've got to get the freshman ready
James
to go.
Peoples or Sam Williams.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Ohio State was, you know, positioned or predicted to bring in a transfer from Massachusetts. I mean, a couple weeks ago, somebody put in a crystal ball for this kid from Massachusetts to transfer to Ohio State. He entered the he went to Rutgers. He transferred to UMass. December 1st, he declared for the NFL draft, then removed his name from the NFL draft, then went in the transfer portal, then came out of the transfer portal, then went back in the portal.
Gosh, it's a lot of movement. It must be exhausting.
He's an Ohio kid. I mean, you know, his name is escaping me right now. I know it's three names. K-Ron something. I don't know. Adams, maybe. I don't know. What is it? Look it up.
K. Adams?
K-Ron.
I used to love Ron NFL Network.
But, you know, he's
big
he's,
Bengals fan.
He ran for 1,200 yards a year ago and scored 12. Like, if you bring him in and it's maybe a trade, it's unfortunate. And I'm going to say this in a way that's probably going to be like come
it's
across.
It's going to be condescending, Berm.
It's going to sound condescending.
K-Ron Lynch Adams.
K-Ron Lynch Adadams from Warren G. Harding High School up in Youngstown area.
You knew that part.
You know everything else about
him. Yeah, it's just sometimes there's so many names in my head. This is going to sound... And so many voices.
Once they graduate, Berm forgets about it.
So,
are you Randy Orton?
This is going to sound condescending. Okay.
Do you like when you talk to me, the grooming process with these guys when you meet them and get to know them?
I really don't appreciate that, I'm just, that terminology, Bob.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you get to know them, you learn them, you know, and then once they graduate, you seem to forget about them.
No, that's not true. They just get replaced by others that are
other opportunities
on the come up.
See, he keeps getting older.
Yeah, and they say the same age.
I
don't know that there's many other schools in the country where the third string running back transferring would be talked about in the way that it's being talked about in the last 48 hours for Ohio State. Or like it's been talked about for the last 3 months about Dallin Hayden and what his future is. Because Ohio State has the best two-man running back group in the country, and people are obsessing about what's the third string running back doing. And they're going to... very likely replace him with another third-string running back from somewhere who's had a more productive college career. And when Dallin Hayden was being recruited by Ohio State and he was the lone running back in the class of 2022 and Tony Alford brought him into Ohio State, the clamoring from Ohio State fans was, this kid isn't very good. I don't know why they're recruiting him. So I think that...
But then they saw
him play.
Wasn't he the leading rusher?
As a true freshman in those two games in November when they needed him?
Needed him.
Especially at Maryland.
Well, hold on. He's been great. I mean, you can go back and through the podcast feed, I can guarantee you'll find me saying last year I thought he was the best running back on the team and should play.
When we needed you the most, you gave us your best.
Yeah, and that's what
he did. He did that.
And he's a great kid. And there's a lot of things to really like about Dallin Hayden, and everyone should understand that this is the new way of college football. Wish him the best, and know that the Buckeyes are going to replace him, because that's the way it's going now. There is no one in football anymore who is unattainable for Ohio State. If Jeremiah Smith left tomorrow, the Buckeyes would find another receiver.
Probably not
one like him, but you'd find someone and you replace the spot, and that guy will become the next greatest thing that Ohio State fans have ever seen. And that's the way it works.
Now, Dallin provided
great kid.
He's a great kid, and maybe not the most physically gifted of all the running backs. He's not overly big. He's not overly fast. He's not overly quick. But he did a great job of having a feel for the running game. How to have great vision. He did a great job setting up his blocks.
He was young when he was always going forward.
Did he lead the team in rushing his freshman year? He had like 500 yards, I think.
I think Trevion still had like 800 that year.
Okay, but he was second. He was close.
Yeah. We got a big glimpse of him, and it looked good.
He was good.
And he had the 100-yard games, and that's where it really – escalated.
Absolutely. If Quinshaw wouldn't have came in, I think they would have had a good room, and he would have been a big, huge part of it. Do you think he will follow his former mentor?
I don't think he'll end up in Ann Arbor.
Okay, that was my big question. Outside of that, I'll cheer for him anywhere he goes.
I mean, the team that's been rumored is Ole Miss. That's the one where we've heard it.
Really, Lane wanted to, like... get back.
Hey, yeah. You took one of ours. We're taking one of yours.
Watch Tywon this. Malone, Davis Nigbinosen, and Quinshon Judkins for Dallin Hayden seems like a fair trade.
That's a fair trade.
If I'm Ohio State. But it is very unlikely that this is the last transfer to come out of spring football for Ohio
State. Probably have 5 to 7.
Yeah, I mean, I was asked yesterday on the ohiostate.rivals.com message board, like, over under 7.5 total, and I said over. And I think we could I think we could all realistically look at the roster and find 9 or 10 guys that are not in a position heading into this fall that are not true freshmen that are not likely to play a lot of football. And the thing is, when you play football at Ohio State, especially now in this world, like other schools are going, hey, you play at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You're not playing. Would you like $500 to play football here? That
500, he says.
That amount is obviously, I'm just picking a random number, and it could be more than that. I'm not sure. I don't know how money works.
Yes, and there's a comma involved.
Yeah. I don't know money, okay? Yeah. I'm not a money guy. What I am saying is that from a personal perspective, these teams celebrate taking a guy from Ohio State as though that they have won the lottery.
Like deflowering Ohio State.
Like it has a different feel. Like Caleb Brown a year ago, bless his heart, a wide receiver from Illinois who was a true freshman at Ohio State, didn't play, transferred to Iowa. Like Iowa celebrated like he was the greatest receiver they've ever seen.
Well, have you seen the guys they've had at receiver?
Caleb Burton is still being talked about at Auburn. Like, yes, we got one from Ohio State. This extends beyond the current roster and goes to recruiting. Last night on Monday night, Miami landed a commitment from a tight end from Ohio who has had an offer from Ohio State for a while but has not really been recruited by the Buckeyes aggressively. And it's like, we got one from Ohio State. We stole him. Like, it's a talking point that the media...
Meanwhile, go ahead.
They need it.
Yeah.
You know? And so you can see a guy on the Ohio State roster that's maybe fourth or fifth on the offensive line depth chart, and we're going, I don't know that guy. What's going on? And Auburn takes him like, yes, we got him. You know, it's just it's a weird world.
I remember people when Iowa got Caleb Brown last year, like a bunch of reporters and radio stations like, hey, can you give us some thoughts on Caleb Brown? And like, can you answer some questions or write some stuff for this website? And I'm like, no, I can't. I haven't seen him play in a game. Yeah. I don't think he's going to do anything for Iowa personally based on what I've seen. So you're asking me for thoughts on this. I have none. Ohio State is not really worried about it. No offense to Caleb Brown.
Yeah, that's the hard. That's the fine line.
Some of those guys will go there. They'll go there and play somewhere else. Yeah. Like it's just they bring in recruiting class after recruiting class, and to quote Mark D'Antonio, he's like, "We're trying to recruit over you." And that was 20 years ago, and now the cycle is so much faster. And you have an opportunity to go somewhere else. And I don't begrudge those guys. Like, hey, if you look ahead, and all right, I'm staring at my third year, and there's two or three guys ahead of me. A
couple of them are younger.
And one of the guys is younger. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, it might be time for me to look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And guys can still go somewhere and have a productive career, maybe go on and play in the NFL. Like, I've watched that happen before. Sure. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Got a guy go win a Heisman and number one pick.
It's a fine line to tread when you're looking at how we respond to it, which is to say, this isn't that big of a deal, but also, like, the kid's a great kid, and he's going to succeed. And mm-hmm. Like, there's no doubt in my mind Dallin Hayden is going to play somewhere this year and be a really good running back. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, is that the case for everyone who's going to end up transferring Ohio State? And by the time we do this show next Monday, like, we'll be sitting here and the phone will be going off because Monday we'll open up the portal and it's going to go nuts. So,
portaling.
But the flip side of that is that Ohio State gets to then go out and add new players because – you said there. I think they're sitting at 85 scholarships right now. Yeah. They'll probably dip to 77 or 78 by next week.
Seven sounds about like the right number. Like setting it at 7.5, I'd probably take the under. But that's
over because I'm a gambler, baby.
Oh boy,
life's too short to bet the under.
I'm a risk taker, dog. But like the Buckeyes will then replace those guys.
How many? Do we have? This might be a dumb question. Do we have any freshmen coming in this summer?
Yes. Yes.
So that will go towards that number.
I mean, those guys are already included.
Okay.
But there's not a lot, and that's what I'm saying. They currently have like almost a full boat right now.
One, a wide receiver, Berm, was in working out last week.
Yeah, Mylon Graham.
Oh, boy. Where are they growing these guys?
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
My goodness.
Fort Fun?
Fort Wayne.
It's not far from Berm. Berm will be able to do
a little Bobby Carpenter workout and look just
like. Let me ask you this question. You were in there all week last week, and how much value would there be? This is a recruiting thought. So Tavian St. Clair from Bell Fountain, obviously Ohio State's 2025.
Bell Fountain.
Ohio State's quarterback commitment in the class of 2025. He basically spent like the entire week on campus on spring break. Eli Lee, a linebacker from Akron Hoban, 2025.
I saw a video of him squatting.
Like 700 pounds or something.
7,000, yeah. I think.
So, they both spent the entire week at Ohio State, watching Mylon Graham, because Mylon Graham's already signed. He was in there working out and doing things he's allowed to do. Those guys aren't allowed to work out. They just watch and to take part in meetings and that. How valuable would that be?
Voyeurism is what they call it.
Yeah, whatever gets you there. You know what I mean, Bob? But how valuable would
different
that have been?
Strokes.
How valuable would that have been for you guys to spend that much like time around the program before you got in it?
I came up in the spring.
A few of us came.
I mean, I was 40 minutes away, so I would come up to just about every spring practice that I could. I mean, Justin came up. Like, we came in the summer and did stuff. In the
summertime, we were here.
Before people were really doing that. Mm. And so if you live close, like.
Yeah, my brother was here, so I stayed with him in the apartment. And you know, go down and work out and throw.
And Jared, and Tamara, Three's Company.
How much did that help you guys, though, when you got
to campus? It does, because you know, and now they're even more.
It's also engaged. The guys on the team know who you are, and they don't think you're some cocky little
Well, that's the thing, especially when you can come and you start working out. Like, you start working out, you get to know the guys. You just get more familiar and more comfortable with everything. So, and now the coach is leaning in even more to try to get those guys to do it and to understand it, and they're. It's not a bonus that you're here, like, not that you're expected, but that's a big deal. You get comfortability with the offense. You're seeing the reads. You know, I remember the coach, like, hey, they start giving you, I'd sit there and.
You're in the meetings with them, seeing how they're teaching and seeing what you need to be learning.
These are the plays. And it's like, hey, this is what it is. And everything, like, looks really fast because you're coming from high school football. And then you get out there and you do it. But, you know, we would do 7-on-7 and stuff in the summer. And so getting here in the spring, you kind of have a little taste and. Hey, here's what we're doing. This play's this. This play's
that.
You
need a couple plays that you knew. Yeah. Right here, go out and try it. You know, at the end of the night or whatever it was.
I imagine when you guys were here, the media contingent was significantly smaller. That was at every practice, and there weren't
people. Some of the guys were still there. Same guys.
Yeah. But they weren't there like putting your stuff on the internet. Like, oh, Bobby Carpenter's here working out with the Buckeyes, because that would have been illegal and you wouldn't have been.
And
allowed.
We did not have that technology. Really.
Yeah, they didn't have the ability. You have to. Lug in a 30-pound camera to be able to do
didn't
that.
Didn't have to worry about that.
So, but it was. I think that was good. And I saw him, and you were throwing around. It was funny. Yeah. He was throwing with RJ after practice. Davian,
Well, it also allowed you to get a taste of Roosters. Sorry, Berm.
I love Roosters.
Winding down here.
Don't we all? So
mac and cheese bites. Their appetizer Threesday is today.
Get in here.
$3. We also received a very heartwarming message.
Yes,
we did.
From Natalie in California. We received it. We saw it. We want to make sure that you know it, and we appreciate it more than we could ever describe.
100%.
We're not going to read it.
Though. We're not going to read it.
That'd be
some personal stuff.
All did it, and it was great. Some feedback, advice. We're really sorry that we missed you at Roosters in here, but we wanted to let you know that we love what we saw. We love you. We love the support.
Yes.
We're touched, and we hope that
very much.
We just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. And everybody else who watched, we love you too.
Yeah.
Thanks. But we love Natalie more.
We do love her the most. That is true. We miss Nicole Cox this week. She will be back. She's going to be watching the spring game, of course, this week. And I just cannot wait. I'm fully, fully excited for it now.
Let's go, baby. From WrestleMania to the spring game. You just had a heck of a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Go get to the saddle up event too. I know the coaches are fired up. If you want to get a little taste inside the Woody, I am not a jockey.
Okay.
I'm not jockeying there, but I will be there enjoying
the
fun concert and everything else that goes
on. That's great.
That's why
awesome
Jay-Z's time. That's why Jay-Z's going home in the afternoon. He needs a nap before he heads back to Saddle
Can
up.
I make
I don't
one,
know if I am,
one final impassioned plea?
Oh, yeah.
America.
Impassioned.
Saturday's going to be a beautiful day in Columbus, Ohio. And I know that there's the allure of sitting at home, watching the spring game on the couch, maybe drinking a beer, going out and doing the yard.
You can do the yard
afterwards. You know, you're like, hey, this is a nice casual day. Get to the stadium. Support this football program and enjoy yourselves, because
it's
a big recruiting day. This stuff is memorable for these kids who are getting to play in Ohio Stadium for the first time. Get out there and show your support.
Yeah, don't boo them.
Be loud. Ooh. And if you boo at the spring
game. We've had that spring game. Oh, yeah, we got booed in our spring game. What? In 04.
04, but the weather was like.
It was snowing and sleeting, and it was miserable.
So that was the worst game ever.
That's well before I covered this program. If the weather forecast for this Saturday was what it was in 2004, I would not go.
Yeah.
We
tried not
to. But you would have done the same thing you just did. You would have said, you know what? It's bad.
But
it's going to be snow.
But
it's an opportunity to get into the horseshoe and go support us.
And that's what I did as a younger man in 2004. And now, as an old man, I'm like, no, I'm not.
It was like 45 in the
rain, sideways rain, snow.
There was like 45,000 to start the game. I was impressed that They made the effort to get there.
I remember. I was there.
And then it dwindled quickly.
It's a friends and family affair by the end.
And that was when it went on forever, too, back in the
3.5 hours of that nonsense.
That's what I crave.
You're supposed to have a
lot of that. That's what you want. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm waiting for it all year.
It's so hard to get drunk outside on a patio when it's freezing.
Miserable day.
Not if you're committed to the process, Bob. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Saturday spring game. In between that and Saddle Up, you can come into Roosters, and that'll be a great place to hang out and watch maybe a little golf.
I think you can actually get Masters in the stadium.
You can get a little bit there. Wherever you want. Do whatever you want. But have a great weekend. And we're going to talk about that spring game next week when we get back in here. Back on a Monday in the Horseshoe Lounge at Roosters, which is a fun casual joint. That's Jay-Z, Bob Berm. Thanks to Bill as well. I'm Austin. We'll see you next week.